Welcome to another morning worship service. Well, we have changed from last week to this week. As we always do, we learn along the way. We adapt. But our challenge always is to be fresh, to be always abounding with how we can worship God a little bit better. And every week, that must be our challenge, to consider how we can make worship of the Lord as meaningful as possible. Well, thank God for His grace, for safekeeping for another week. And we are just going to, once again, ask the Lord to bless us as we commence our worship. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for this series of messages on the subject of meditation upon You and on Your Word. We pray that You will open up understanding and create within us a desire to learn how we can do this. And we pray for Your blessings upon us as we begin our worship. And we pray that You will speak to our hearts and bring encouragement to our souls. We pray for Your blessings. And pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, as we carry on in our study of meditation upon the Lord's Word, we begin to see the connection, Psalm 1, where the psalmist's example was that of meditating upon the Lord's Word day and night. Then, Psalm 4 is a night meditation. Psalm 5 is a morning meditation. And so, the Psalms are, in that sense, connected. But we have got to make that connection. Today we are going to look at actually three Psalms instead of two. We're going to see how Psalm 11, Psalm 12, Psalm 19 are actually interrelated. And this is where we learn how to deepen our meditation approach and our concerns. But let's look at Psalm 11, for example. And in Psalm 11, we see the psalmist speaking of trust in God. He begins with, "In the Lord I put my trust." But there were many voices around the psalmist David. And they were saying to him, "Flee as a bird to your mountain. Look, the wicked bend their bow. They are making ready their arrow on the string, and they will shoot secretly at the upright." And so, of course, there was deep concern. And so the big concern was, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, that was a thought that was important. Now, bear in mind this thought as we read Psalm 12 shortly. But there is the trust that the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. And so this is something that we need to bear in mind, that the Lord is watching the scenes on this earth. And we should not let undue worry overwhelm us, overcome us in any way. Let us never allow fear to come in so that we flee from whatever problems that may be. Our approach must be one of faith, or in the words of David, trust in the Lord. Well, this is the thing that we need to look at, and we want to ask ourselves, how can we literally improve our meditation? And one of the ways in which meditation can improve is to be able to look at biblical insights. And biblical insights will help us to look at how we can meditate and how we can learn how to be still before the Lord. See, the problems of life, the insight that we have, we begin to realize is We read this in Psalm 4, in 5, in 6, in 7, in 9, and in 10, in 11, and in 12, and so on and so forth. And the reality of it all is that the problems and the pressures of life, they will never cease. Let's face it. Right? Nobody expected this COVID-19 to hit us in 2019. Everybody was looking forward to 2020. What a wonderful thought would be. We can see better 2020. And then suddenly 2020 hits us with a pandemic. And this is 2021. And we are still reeling over because of the pandemic problem. The pressures of life will never cease. They can come in many, many forms. I think that is the biggest challenge. And so the psalmist is deeply, deeply concerned. So 12:1, he says, "Help, Lord, the godly man ceases, the faithful disappear from among the sons of men." Part of the problem, Psalm 11, some flee from the sea. And so the number of people who are godly will actually be threatened. The danger is that we will disappear from the scene. And that is not the good way of going about responding to the problems of life. Right? The pressures are there, the problems are there. Do they stop? Look at the problem. Verse 2 of Psalm 12. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips they speak, in the double heart they speak. The Lord, you know, and this is where they were saying, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips our own, who is Lord over us? Now these are the problems that are there. Now if we keep on dwelling on problems like that, we are going to collapse under the strain of it all. So what's the best thing to do when we have obvious problems and pressures of life? Well, we are fearful of the COVID-19. We are concerned about financial distresses. There are family difficulties. Our jobs are at stake. The future looks bleak. And you can add on to those woes. And if we keep on dwelling on these things here, we are not going to go very far. In fact, we can be overwhelmed. This is where meditation must help us to understand. We have an answer in part to the problems that are there. And I want to encourage us all to make meditation a practice. The moment the problems and the pressures of life come to us and they threaten to overwhelm, straight away, our mode must be practice meditation. And it is not easy. This is why the psalmist made it a practice in his life. Evening, he will meditate. Morning, he will meditate. Now, we must ask ourselves, why? We need to have a sense of purpose. Why am I meditating? Because it's the wisest thing to do. Because I want to find the peace of God. Because I want to find encouragement. Because I need to find the strength all over again. Whatever it is that we purpose in our heart, those things will actually be fulfilled as we practice meditation. And this is what we want to do. And so today we're going to learn from the psalmist David, from Psalms 12 and 19, and to look at how he overcame all these challenges. Well, in meditation, we always need a focus. Well, what is that focus? And this is important. The psalmist began with praying to God, "Help, Lord." Right? And there is a word of God, a very special promise that is given. Let's take a look at this. Right? And so the psalmist cries out, "Help, Lord." The godly man ceases. 12:1. Then 12:3, he breathes a prayer. "May the Lord cut off all flattering lips." The Lord responds. And this is what we must meditate on. verse 5. And this is the promise of the Lord. For the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy, now I will arise. How wonderful it is to know that God will give us such a promise. Right? So this is a promise that we must dwell on very, very significantly. So the Lord will arise. He will hear our prayers. He will respond. And he said, I will arise. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. Now, that is the promise of the Lord. But a lot of times when we look at the promises of God, we sort of hear it for a moment, comforted for the moment, and then after a while, tomorrow is gone. Don't let that happen. It doesn't have to go that way. So what's the challenge of it all? And today we look at 12 at verse 6 and 7. Now that would be a wonderful text to meditate on this morning. Okay. So one of the things that we can meditate on would be to meditate on all the promises of God. That's the best way to go. Rather than meditate on our own thoughts. Sometimes we are, you know, we are wool gathering and we get led astray. We think of happier days and we think of what things could be. The better thing is to dwell on the promises of the Lord. Now, this is how we can begin. Okay? So this is a text that is worth memorizing, worth dwelling on. The words of the Lord are pure words. How wonderful. It's not hard to memorize 12:6, actually. Let's try this. The words of the Lord are pure words. And we say this out loud, or in our hearts, or in our mind, and we dwell on it. Right? So there are the problems of life. Here is the promise of God. What do we do with it? The Lord said, I will arise and I will help the righteous. I will give them the safety they so desire. So what is our response? Meditation on the promise of God's word is absolutely wonderful. So what do we dwell on? Well, we dwell on what he said, right? The words of the Lord are pure words. Are the words of the Lord pure words to you? That is what we must ask ourselves. And as we look at the word purity, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of purity are we talking about? Well, the imagery extends further. And we read, the words of the Lord are like silver, and it is put into the furnace of this earth, and the usual silversmith will put in that silver again and again, 7 times over. And every time he looks at the silver, he will use a spoon or whatever, a ladle, however big the place may be, his furnace, and he will remove literally the dross. He will remove the dross 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, 7 times if he needs to. And then he will look at the silver. And if he can see his own face reflected on the silver that he is melting, that silver is now considered pure silver. And this is what the psalmist is trying to say to us. So when we meditate upon the Lord's word, let us remember that we are meditating on pure words. And once the word, the idea of pure words have come, then you begin to understand and appreciate what it means. The word of God has a power and a life of its own. The more we meditate, the more it will penetrate into our mind, into our heart, into our very soul, until it is established within us. Well, in verse 7, the psalmist went on to express his own faith and trust in God. And this is what he said. He said, you shall keep them, O Lord. Now, that is his response, right? His response is that God will keep them, God will preserve them from this generation forever. So that is the problem of the wicked trying to hurt the godly. And that is our prayer, and now we are dwelling on the promises of God. How do we balance the both? And meditation teaches us to believe, to trust that God will preserve His own word. And if God preserves His own word, the wicked will have no chance whatsoever to actually affect us in any way. Why? How can they? When the Lord preserves His word, He will arise for His people and He will bless. Now, this is absolutely vital for us to take note of. Now, let's look at Psalm 19. Okay, so we're going to combine this 11, 12, and 19. Now, more about the Lord's word. Right? So this is Psalm 12, and then 6 and 7, and then it continues further. So obviously, the psalmist is drawn back to seek God in further meditation. Remember, evening and morning. And then he will meditate upon the Lord's word a little bit more. Let's take a look at some of the things that we need to consider as we dwell upon the Lord's word. So the general idea is that we are dwelling on the word of God and they are pure words. Right? Like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's how pure the word of God is. And God will keep them. Now, don't stop there. Go a little further. How do we understand this? Well, in Psalm 12, 7, 8, and 9, the psalmist meditates upon the word of God further. Now, being a person who is instructed in the law, obviously, David looks at the way in which the word of God is sort of subdivided in the scriptures. There would be the law, there would be testimonies, there would be statutes, there would be commandments, there would be judgments. So we have at least five aspects of the law described for us. Right? And all these things will make up what we call the word of the Lord. Now, each part of it actually has got certain nuances that are very, very beautiful. And they will become apparent only as you meditate upon it. If you just simply read the word of God and then sort of have a general or vague understanding of it all, the effect may not be very significant. But if you meditate on the word of God, then it will become very obvious. This one is law. This one is actually a testimony. This one is a statute which arose from the law. This one is a special direct commandment. This one is a judgment that the Lord gave. And as you read the scriptures, you begin to understand and appreciate the various aspects, the various parts of the Word of God. And there are many, many wonderful aspects. Right? But our focus is not to have an academic dissection of what each one is like. Our meditation should focus on what happens when we see the Word of God slowly studied, meditated upon, and it is really a process. Right? So you think about, okay, I'm going to practice this, I'm going to have a sense of purpose there, I'm going to look at the promises of God. Now, you've got to understand, meditation is like a process. There is a start, there is a continuation, and there is a conclusion. We call it a process. What we start off with, what we continue with, and then what we end up with may be quite different. Take, for example, we say, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's a good start. And then if you think about it, you meditate upon it, and then you see the conclusion. and you see something special. We call this the power of the Word of God. In the book of Hebrews, for example, we read in chapter 4, in verse 12, that the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is like a living thing. It's like a sword, as it were. And you know what? It is sharp, it is alive, and it helps us to see things. It cuts through a lot of things and helps us to see and understand and appreciate things far, far better. And there is a power of God at work when we meditate properly. Consider this. We begin with the law of the Lord. And then you realize it, and it is perfect. The idea of perfect here is the idea of completeness, of something that is wholesome, something that is just absolutely wonderful. What is the power? It can convert the soul. It can change the soul. Right? Now, remember, we begin with, I'm feeling trouble, there are problems of life, pressures of life, difficulties of life. So I pray to God. God gives His promise. I meditate upon it with a sense of purpose. I watch the process. Now, what do I see at the end of it all? I see the power of God at work. And when the power of God is at work, what does it do? For example, one effect is that the soul is converted. So I'm no longer pressured. I'm no longer feeling the problems on my shoulders as much. I'm learning to be still. I'm learning to trust even more. I'm learning to just believe in God and don't let all these things worry me too much. The soul is converted. I don't have to flee like a bird to the mountain. I can stand here and trust God. This is what faith will help us. This is the word of the power of God's word that will convert the soul. Well, that's where we see the process and then the product as well. And the power of God is at work. Now, in 19, verse 7b, the second part, the testimony of the Lord is sure. The word sure is the idea of certainty. It's definite. It's there. It will come to pass. And then you begin to realize that, again here, the power of God is at work. It makes the simple become wise. And that's what we're seeing. And this is a wonderful thought to have. So I start with, I begin, I commence with, I am simple in my understanding, in my knowledge, in my faith. I meditate further. I watch the process developing. What is my end product? I become a little wiser. See, this is again the power of God at work. So if our purpose to meditate is to find and discover all of these things here, then meditation is a wonderful way to go. And then we look at 19:8 now. Right? The statutes of the Lord are right. Well, again here is an observation. So it is perfect, it is sure, and as you look at it again, you meditate again, and you know, you realize, you see another insight. And then this insight is, the statutes of the Lord are right. All the time, right. As we meditate further, as we see the process, what will come out as a product? The power of God is at work, and what happens is that it rejoices the heart. For some reason, you find the heart rejoicing. You find the heart happy. You find the heart able to rejoice amidst all the difficulties that are there. And that's how that works. And that's absolutely wonderful. Then we go on further to the next part. Again, further meditation. Don't give up now. Just keep on working at it. The next part of it, something new to meditate on. This time we come across the commandment of the Lord. Sometimes we think that the commandments of God are very difficult. Try a new word, pure. The word of God is like we read in Psalm 12, right? It's like silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. That is what we read here. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It is purified seven times. It can't go wrong. Now, watch the power of God at work, right? So we have, we understand our sense of purpose. I want to meditate. I look at the process. I think about it. And the power of God is at work. And what does it do? You know what? It enlightens the eyes. Suddenly, you find yourself understanding the Word of God better. Suddenly, you see yourself understanding life a little bit more. And then you begin to realize that you have received an enlightenment that brings such joy to the heart. Well, then you take a look again. Now, again, we go back to meditation. This time, we talk about the judgments of the Lord. Sometimes the judgments of the Lord may seem harsh. Sometimes they may seem difficult. Sometimes they are even painful. But meditate further and watch and see what happens. They are true and they are righteous altogether. Right? So as you look at the judgments of God in our life, sometimes they are hard to bear. Sometimes they are difficulties that we have to cope with. But as you meditate, what must come through and will come through to us is that the judgments of the Lord would be proven to be true and righteous altogether. Well, these things are there. So as you look at all the different aspects, the five different aspects, what is that product that will come out? And the psalmist very skillfully put it in. He calls this the fear of the Lord. Now, sometimes we think, how do we have this fear of the Lord? You know, the Bible speaks about how wonderful it is to have the fear of the Lord, how we must have the fear of the Lord. And sometimes we don't really understand the fear of the Lord. We fear the virus, we fear death, we fear suffering, but we don't really fear the Lord. Well, how does the fear of the Lord come right in? And the psalmist puts it in amidst the meditation on the Word of God, because the fear of the Lord is actually a product of meditation. Right? So if I meditate properly, if I go through the whole process, and as I pray, as I meditate, what will happen? I will see my soul converted. I will see myself made wiser. I will see myself being able to rejoice. I will see my eyes enlightened. I will see something else. I will see how God will create inside me the fear of the Lord. And this is what happens. So the fear of the Lord is actually something that will come out of meditating upon the Word of God effectively. And that is absolutely wonderful to take note of. Right? So as we look at all these things here, now, how do we understand these things here? And this is, to me, a wonderful effect, or these are wonderful effects of the Word of God upon our lives. Now, we don't stop here. We go on further. How do we understand this? Now, you watch. You will find that as you meditate upon the Lord's Word, you are actually drawn to it further. Meditation is a wonderful thing. If ever there is anything that is good about meditating, is that if you do it right, do it properly, you will actually be drawn to it, to the Word of God especially. In verse 10, the psalmist wrote, and this expresses what he felt. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Right? I mean, it's a natural tendency for people to, as it were, look for money in life. But there is something far better than fine gold. And what is that? the Word of God that you have begun to understand better. You see, when we read the Word of God, we don't understand it. It's very daunting. It's you don't really want to read it because you don't understand. The more you read, the more you don't understand, and it's very frustrating. But the Word of God is not meant to be read academically in the mind alone. It's meant to be meditated upon. It's meant to be pondered over. It's meant to be prayed over. And then you watch the power of God and His Word working in our life. Once you see enlightenment coming, once you see the soul converted, once you see the joy in the heart, once you see the fear of the Lord coming, you'll find yourself automatically, naturally drawn to love the Word of God even more. And it's not going to come in immediately. It may not even come easily, but it is what it is. And it is truly better than much fine gold and sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. And then he adds a little personal thing about it, and that is wonderful. And so we come to that part of it as we look into the closure of it all, and it's wonderful. On personal, this part of it is called a personal reflection. Right? Moreover, by them, your servant is warned. He's now personally responding. See, we all need to have a personal response, and all of us will actually have different responses. Think about this. What are some of those responses? So David looked at the Word of God and he said, you know, as I read the Word of God warns me, your servant is warned. And when you understand the Word of God, you are enlightened, your heart is rejoicing, you want to keep the Word of God. And in the keeping of it, there is great reward. So the meditation process is actually a wonderful thing to have. So Psalm 11, we begin with problems, pressures of life. Insight comes, and we begin to realize they will actually never go away. And if you read all the Psalms, you will find that the greater part of the Psalms all talk about problems, pressures, difficulties in life. No question about that. So since they won't go away, then we have to ask ourselves, how do I cope? How do I cope with all the problems and the pressures of life? And the psalmist teaches us how. And one of the ways in which we can deal with them is learn to put into practice meditation. And so he put into practice evening and morning. Then he will meditate upon the Word of God. And then Psalm 12, he appreciates the place of the Word of God in meditation. Psalm 19 combined with 12, we begin to appreciate even more the Word of God in its variety, in its arrangements. There are different aspects and subjects, but all of them have powerful effects upon our life, upon the person who meditates upon the Word of God. Right? And so you see this very clearly. Psalm 19, 7 all the way to 11. Now, this is something that you need to appreciate. What is the best way of concluding meditation? And I want to suggest that prayer is a wonderful way of concluding. But what kind of prayer? Let's take a look at this. It's absolutely important. What kind of thing are we looking at? Right? And so from 12 to 14 is actually a prayer. Well, what is this prayer? It begins with an honest assessment. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret fault. That is a prayer. You know, as we look at the problems of life and we look at our own prayerlessness and we look at the difficulties, we cannot but realize that there are many secret faults and errors. To give in to fear is an error. Right? To hide our fearfulness in many different ways is a fault. It's a secret fault. We will not tell people we are afraid, but deep down we are. And to me, approaching COVID-19, this pandemic, approaching it with fear is not something we want to have or we want to encourage at all. Sure, there are problems. We must take all the precautions necessary. We should, but never let fear come in, because it is a fault. And this is something that the Lord does not want us to have. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ had to be taught how to address fears until they were not afraid anymore. In time to come, they were not afraid of suffering. They were not afraid even of death. Well, that is how we want to overcome. Well, there is another thing that we need to work with. It's another aspect of our life. But one part is fear. One part is a secret fault. But there's another part which is called presumption. Again here, as you meditate upon the Lord's word, because of His purity, because it has power to enlighten us, because it has power to convert our souls, an inward prayer, inward-looking prayer would see the psalmist saying this: keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. The sin of presumption is that we think we know when we don't. We assume that it is right when it is not. We believe that we are right and we are not. And we act upon that which we think is the case, but it may be simply presumption. And so he made this prayer: keep back your servant, not only from secret faults, okay, not only from errors, but also from presumption. These are the things that can affect us, and they will cause us to sin. Worse, all those things that we have mentioned, they can have dominion over us. They can dominate our lives. So when we meditate, we must also examine our heart and our life, and we ask ourselves, how do we understand this? How should we cope with this? Well, the best thing to do is to pray about this. And what should we pray about? To ask the Lord to help us to understand our errors, to understand our secret faults, to help us to be held back from presumptuous sins, to make sure they do not have dominion over us. Because these sins can lead us into great transgression. Can we pray about this? And this will prevent us from great transgression. And we shall be then blameless. And so here comes the focus of a message today in 19:14. Let the words of my mouth, that is prayer, the meditation of my heart related to prayer, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Now, it's something that we need to think about. Sometimes we assume that our prayers are right. The psalmist David now is teaching us a very special lesson. Let's not assume things, lest they become presumptuous sins. So how do we want to understand this? So let the words of my mouth, before you even say a word of prayer to God, the meditation of my heart. So when we read these words, you must go back to Psalm 11, the fears that are in the heart, the fear that the godly are ceasing, they are disappearing, the fear of the problems of life, and then go back to God's word. The words of God are pure words, Psalm 12:6. God will preserve them, Psalm 12:7. Then you meditate further. The law of the Lord is perfect. Right? The tribute, the testimony of the Lord is sure. The statutes of the Lord are right. And all these things are meditated upon. And when we meditate upon the word of God like that, you will find that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will then become acceptable to God in His sight. So this is actually a very good way of ending meditation. So we commence with, let me have this sense of purpose in my heart. So I begin my meditation and tell God, God, you know, a part of me wants to flee. A part of me is fearful. A part of me is just not right. So what do I do? Okay, God, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to your word. And your words are pure words. Your words are like silver put it tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Lord, you will preserve them. So your heart is comforted. Now you dwell upon God and His word, upon His law, upon His testimony, upon His statutes, upon His commandment, upon His judgments, and watch the power of God at work in your life. And you will find your heart rejoicing, you will find your eyes enlightened, you will find your soul converted, you find a new desire and love for the Word of God. And when you put them all together, you cannot but say in prayer to God, God, I thank you for all these things, but I know my own self. There are secret errors, there are secret faults, there are presumptuous sins inside me. Please do not let them have dominion over me. That's a good prayer to make as we conclude meditation. Right? And those things are wonderful. What do I want to, at the end of it, what is the product I want to have in my life? God, I want to be blameless before you. That's what God said to Abraham. Walk before me. Be blameless. That's what he wants Abram to be. Right? And then the psalmist David said, then I shall be innocent of great transgression. Will God hear this, our prayer? And the answer is yes. And this is something we want to thank God for. What is the Lord to us? What would the Lord say to our hearts as we complete our meditation? And it would be along these lines. The Lord will be our strength. The Lord will be our Redeemer. So we begin with fears and problems in our heart and in our life. But as we look at the Word of God, as we meditate, our mind becomes soaked literally with the Word of God, and it fills our heart and our mind, and we see ourselves changing even as we meditate and pray. We will find truly the Lord our strength. We would be so glad and thankful God is our Redeemer. And when we practice meditation along these lines, then we will find wonderful results. There will come a wonderful sense of peace in our heart. There will come a wonderful sense of assurance as well. And then you'll find that the fears are dispelled. And the fears are dispelled. What is in place? There is a deeper trust in God. There is a greater love for God and His Word. There is a greater relationship with God as our Redeemer. And you will find that you are actually stronger and wiser for the meditation effort that you put in. And this is something that we want to understand and appreciate. Can this happen to you? And the answer is yes. But remember, it is very personal. I can say this of my own self, I can think about this. I want to practice this for today. Yes, this is true today for me. But what about tomorrow? The sorrows, the woes, the problems, the difficulties can come again. So what should we do? We go back into a practice that we are now seeking to master, a practice of meditation. And this practice of meditation will then stand us in good stead, enabling us to cope with each day's problems, pressures, difficulties. With the Word of God, with the power of the Lord promised, we will find our strength. Well, we go on into another week of phase two, heightened alert. What will it be like? The newspapers will reveal to us things that we may not like to read about. More community cases, more clusters, and you know, we are almost fearful what will happen next. Well, the best challenge is to set aside time in the morning, in the evening, and then make sure that at all times, the Word of God is our focus, the Lord is right there, and we begin to meditate until our minds and our hearts, our very souls, are saturated with the Word of God. And then when that happens, all these wonderful effects of the Word of God will take place, rejoicing our hearts, and we will emerge the stronger because of it. So let's look at greater strength that can come to our hearts. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the joy that we can have, for the hope that we can have. We pray that you will help us to look at all the challenges that are right in front of us, the problems that have come because of this pandemic, that we pray very much that you will teach us how to find that assurance, that peace of heart and of mind, that certainty, that power, that strength from you to cope with all the pressures of life. And teach us how to value time spent with you, meditating upon you and your word, so that each time we read your word, we will actually become stronger and we will be wiser, you know, at the end of the day. We pray for your blessings upon all of us and on our churches in Myanmar, in India, in Perth. We pray that you will keep us all in our love for you, in our faith and trust in you. We give thanks. We can speak of trust in you through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.